You're giving Isabella far too much credit. I have a question for us all. Little thing to start us off with. What is your least favorite candy? Let's start off with some negativity. Least favorite candy.
Were you at the when was it? It was at the Mag Christmas party. Which is, for those listening, it was a Christmas party at the house that I live at.
Okay.
And do you remember those like red and green candies that were in like the tubs? And we got like, someone brought like tons of them. And you think like, oh, it's like Christmas flavored. Like, what is it going to be? And then it's just, you take the green ones and they're like a very like potent mint flavor. And then the red ones were like this really bad tasting cinnamon. That's easily the worst. And like the worst part is that it's even kind of addictive. Oh. Like if you try one, you're like, like it has to be better, right? So you go for like another one and it never gets better. Like one of my housemates was just like chomping through them and I was like, buddy, it's, you so gotta bad. Stop. They're not getting better. Yeah.
Dude, yes. Okay. I came late to the party. I came from a work shift and when I came, like, everyone had, like, I think they were, like, toppings that you could also put on, like, gingerbread houses. Like, people were making some gingerbread houses. And by the time I got there, probably, and, like, saw them, I think it was, like, towards the end of the party, everyone was, like, had, like, left, and people were, like, starting to throw away, like, the gingerbread houses. And so me, I was, like, you know, I'm going to pick up the leftovers.
They were.
Gumdrops? Because I think they were in shape. Like, they were gumdrop-looking things, right? And gumdrops are one of my favorite candies, right? And so I see, like, oh, red and green ones, like, ooh, like, fun. Christmas, you know, spirit and, like, gumdrops. I think I spit out the first one that I ate because it was, I think the shock of it being cinnamony and not gross good. was not tragic good. And really just tough.
They're probably stale, too, because they're from, like, the box.
Yeah, and they were left out for hours after people built them. A whirlwind of terrible, terrible candy. But yeah. What about you, Noemi?
I think I had one candy that just like almost immediately popped into my head because I don't know if like my grandma would like give these to me when I was younger or if they were just like a thing at parties where I was going as a kid, but they were like in a strawberry like wrapper, like the candy from the outside was like meant to look like a strawberry, so like the top was green and then like it the body of it was like red and had like the dots, and I think there was like a filling inside, but first of all it didn't taste like strawberry and just the filling inside was, I don't even know what it was either, but it was absolutely terrible to me. I like, if I seen those candies in my candy bags, I would immediately like throw them away.
Wait, I think I know what you're talking. Like, I just sent a picture in our group chat to see, because like when you said the strawberry wrapped candies, are those the ones that just like look like those suck? Those suck so much. Oh my gosh! Ew. Oh yeah. Ugh. I feel like I would see these at a lot of like Chinese restaurants. Like they have like, I don't know. They're all like on your way out. Like you can take a little candy and like ew. Because like I'm a huge fan of strawberries too. Like strawberries, top tier fruit. But this candy was freaking terrible.
Yeah.
Freaking
terrible. No.
But yeah. Oh my goodness. I feel you. I like personally really hate those like those Tootsie Pop.
You don't like Tootsie Pops?
Like I like the Tootsie Rolls themselves. Interesting. The lollipops. Like
that's like the best part.
I don't know. Because they have like the thing in the middle. Like you're like licking a nice like hard thing. And then you get to like the middle where it's like, ew, gross. And like, I don't know. Something about like the, most of the colors, like I feel like, it's like brown and like this dark red and I'm like, ew, this is like nasty looking, I don't know, but yeah,
they definitely like, don't look appealing. I will give you that, they do not look appealing.
I feel like they look really jank too. It's like, man, like
did you Did you ever have the gum ones?
The gum lollipops?
There was some where it was like they were like the same thing where it would be like the colorful outside and you'd like lick it and at the center was like gum.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that I don't know what they were called, but those were pretty cool. Cool idea, dang. At least.
Oh man, I think as a kid I was terrified as gum because like you were told like don't swallow it, and like I remember. I think I was in like second grade. I was chewing gum while I was playing basketball outside, and for the first time in my life, I swallowed a piece of gum. I like immediately ran inside. I was freaking out. I thought I was like the heart was pumping so fast. I tried to like Heimlich maneuver myself to kind of like get it out, but like I couldn't throw it up or whatever. And it was scary. But I'm fine so far. I think probably I don't know. Maybe
the effects take a while to.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Let's go.
But yeah, welcome. Oh, sorry.
No, there's nothing. I was just going to say, let's go to the timeline when Matthew didn't swallow that gum and see what's different.
That's the real what if multiverse storyline that we want to see. but welcome back to the Sci-Fi podcast. Today I am joined by a couple of friends. This is a podcast that has been in the making, in the works for a little while. Like I think we had scheduled a time and then someone, I don't know who, decided to cancel on the podcast. Don't know what happened there. And then we were trying to figure out a time. But today, I have Josiah and Noemi here. We're talking about saying no to good things, today. And yeah, would y'all like to introduce yourselves to the world? Tell, the listeners at home a little bit about yourselves, maybe?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm Noemi. I am a senior at USC studying global health, and I'm on the pre-med track. Yeah, I have about a semester left, which is so crazy, but I'm excited. We're going back to school in like 2 days, so that's crazy. But yeah, I'm currently at home, which is in San Bernardino. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Bang, bang. Thank you for coming and hopping on. Josiah, he's a Sci-Fi veteran, kind of.
I've been through it before.
He's been through the ringer.
I'm just kidding.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Let's see. An introduction,
for those at
I
home
suppose.
Who did not see that, before Josiah made his like little thing, like he had to take a little swig of coffee. I feel like that was like a perfect character introduction.
Yeah,
Josiah.
I'm a coffee enjoyer, currently drinking some espresso, which is good, over ice with a little white chocolate. I bounce between LA and Arizona, and I'm currently studying at the University of Southern California. I study architectural studies, and I'm also working on my master's in media arts, games, and health. I do filmmaking as well, so yeah, my passion is really to tell stories that inspire hope. So yeah, just trying to spread some hope throughout this very unhopeful world, I feel like, right now. But I don't know. Yeah.
Dude, that was well put, but yeah. Couple of friends from USC. I think we've kind of all met or like got to know each other through USC Christian Challenge. It's like a Christian ministry that we like all go to. Noemi and I lead like life groups, which is kind of like a Bible study for upperclassmen and grad students. And then Josiah is working with the freshmen. He like leads Freshman Connection, which is just like the freshman version of like life groups. And yeah, like Josiah said, trying to spread some hope in a world that kind of lacks a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe an interesting topic in like maybe encouraging or giving hope, like saying no to good things, which I think if you said that phrase or like told that phrase to me maybe like 3 years ago, I would have been like, what the fweek is this? And I think there's still parts of me that I'm like, bro, I don't really like this phrase, because it is difficult. But I think like for me, when it comes to thinking about saying no to good things, I think about like a quote from the book Ordering Your Private World by Gordon McDonald. I think it's Gordon McDonald.
It is sure. Gordon McDonald, and it's right here.
Oh, dubs, dubs, dubs. Dude, he had it, like, right on his like, I don't know, desk. He's prepared, bro. But I think, I don't remember what chapter or what page or what context it was in. So, look at me quoting things out of context. Anyways, I think Gordon McDonald wrote, like, the hard part about living a Christian life isn't choosing between good and bad. It's about choosing best from good. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, like, yeah, like, God has called us to, like, choose good instead of bad, choose, like, his way instead of sin. But, like, even on top of that, he chooses us, or he calls us to, like, try to choose best for what he has in our life. And, like, a lot of times, like, that's difficult and that's hard. And it's, like, a lot of good decisions because you have to, like, say no to, like, good things, right? And so I kind of wanted to start this off, like, with thinking about, like, a new semester that we're heading into, right? Like, we're heading into the spring semester of 2024. And I think a lot of times saying no to good things, like, looks like schedule or time management. And I think something that I've been doing, like, as I'm ending break and heading into the semester is, like, thinking about, like, oh, like, what does my schedule look like? What, like, responsibilities or things am I going to try to, like, fit in? Or, like, what disciplines or hobbies or things like that, like, in, like, scheduling my time? Like, what does that look like for you guys and, like, how you guys sift through? Oh, like, what am I going to commit to this, like, semester, this year, this whatever? Figuring that out, filtering, like, your schedule and I guess kind of like your life for the semester. What does that look like for y'all?
I was actually working on that like this morning too. yeah, it's, and I was talking about this with Justin, who is a fellow challenger, because we are seniors going into our last semester. I think one thing that I am struggling with is not filling up my entire, just even units that I have left, because technically we can take up to 18 units, right? And so a lot of seniors, what they're doing is taking a bunch of fun classes, and that sounds amazing, but I also just know that it, for me at least, it just wouldn't be wise to fill up all of my time, even if it's with fun things. Like, those things can be taxing as well. And so, yeah, I've been trying to figure out how I can have some fun, but not, like, just fill up my entire free time with fun time. So I am taking conversational Chinese, which I think is... Jeez. Yeah, I'm taking that with a couple of challenge people as well, which I think will make it fun, but it's also, like, educational. And then ballroom with also challenge people, and yeah, some other things are just things that I'm interested in and I think can help in my, like, career. So I'm taking, like, biochem, and I have a social work class, which is just more of a, like, personal interest, passion of mine. And yeah, I think without the fun classes, it's a pretty light semester. Even with the fun classes, it's gonna be pretty light. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, I did pray and just think about, like, not filling up my time with just fun classes, just because I can and because it's my last semester. Yeah, that's what comes to mind so far.
I think it's tough because, like, I mean, I feel like I haven't taken any classes that I didn't like, or I haven't taken any classes that weren't fun in some part, because it's like, I'm kind of, you know, I'm trying to do what I want to do and what I enjoy doing, because I think, like, if I'm doing what I enjoy doing, then I'll just, like, I think that'll be more fruitful and that I won't be working kind of against it, right? Like, I'll be working with it. And, like, in that, I think it's a very similar issue, but it's just the issues posed with, like, everything almost, where it's like, okay, like, I, you know, I can take these classes that are productive and fun and interesting, but, like, is it still the best option for me to take more versus less? Like, is, should I be putting as much time into classes themselves? Like, that's a question I, like, need to ask. So I very much, I don't know, I relate a lot to what you said, Noemi, of, like, that kind of difficulty. Like, recently I was in, and this is actually topically very good timing. I was in 19 units, not to actually take 19. I was keeping my options open. And so I dropped 2 units out of that, which is good because that was going to be, this semester was looking like I was going to do 18 units again, but it was going to be 8 classes again, which I just did. And it was not fun. And it was fun. Like, that's the problem. Like, it was fun. And I think, like, because I have short-term memory loss, like, I feel like it'd be like, oh yeah, I can do it again. It's like, no, I don't want to do that again. But like, it's almost recognizing that I think the issue that I had last semester and comparing them, because I basically had a semester where last semester I more so needed to do what I needed to do because I kind of got stuck in my course plan to where I needed like a 4-unit class. And because I couldn't get a 4, I did like a 3 and a 1 or a 2 and a 1 and a 1. I forget how I did it, but I did more units over. I did a 3 and a 1. That's right. And so it was like more classes, but it's almost like if you say no to all of like the good classes that can come or whatever that is, like, it's like the quality of everything kind of drops to where it's like the amount of, if I want to like do really well in something, if I'm like passionate about it or like think, hey, I need to like put attention into that, it's like I'm spread so thin. That's like what was really hard. And so I think almost like for me, it's like, how do I mitigate that issue of kind of being spread too thin? Because I think that that's largely been, at least at USC, like, I think it's been a temptation of mine because it's like, it's just, there's so many great options, you know, which is a good problem to have, but it's like, I don't know. I think this is the first semester where I finally was like, hey, I don't need to take 18. It's not my course plan. I can take 16 and it's fine. And the other, for those who might be tracking back, the reason I said I have 19, I am in a 1-unit fun class, but I'm not sure if I'll actually take it yet. I haven't decided. I'm leaning towards dropping it, but friends are in it, which is why I grabbed a spot in it. So I think, like, I don't know, just the really big one for me is recognizing that the more like good or interesting classes that I want to pursue, just like the depth of each of them is going to drop for me. Even if I'm getting like, and the like really tricky part is even if I'm getting good grades in all of them, like, it still means that I don't have as much time to kind of like really meditate on this, or it means I'm constantly switching between things, and you know, I don't have as much time for like social things and that sort of thing. So it is like a sacrifice. So I think it's almost just like, it's really easy to like, at least for me, it's very easy to miss how those things will affect everything else. And then kind of be halfway through and be like, what is going on? Like, what did I agree to?
Yeah. Oh, that's like so interesting hearing like how different people approach like creating their schedule and their course load. Cause I think maybe I'm on the opposite end of Josiah. Like, maybe like Joe, like, you've enjoyed like and found interesting things in almost every single class you've taken. And if you followed any this podcast for any period of time, you know that I am a journalism major who does not want to be a journalism major and who does not enjoy journalism. But this semester I'm taking 4 journalism classes. Anyways, and also like opposite from Noemi, like, she's like in her last semester and she has kind of like more room with her schedule. Like, for me, I'm also in my last semester, but I have to take 17 units to like graduate. Like, so I'll be graduating with like the minimum number of credits. And like, I had to take like a statistics class for like grad school that I'm applying to. And I have to like finish all of, like, these journalism like requirements. And okay, I was trying to do take a journalism podcast class, which I was super excited for. But then like that class like conflicted with like another journalism class that was required. And I was like, bro, like, why are you doing this? Like, why would you? Anyways, that was annoying. And also, like, 'cause I think my thought was like, oh, like Josiah said, USC has so many like great, interesting, fun courses to offer. And I think coming into college, like, one of my things was like, I want to take a fun course, maybe like a fun 1-unit or 2-unit thing every semester, just to like, you know, branch out, like, try different things. Like, I took a script analysis course, I took a drumming class, I took a self-defense class. But now that, like, instead of graduating in 4 years, I'm graduating in 3 years, like, I realized, oh shoot, like, I can't do that anymore. And so like, one of the things that I was trying to do was take a class with my roommate Kay, and he's also on the full like senior thing of he's seeing like I think 1.5 real classes and then like a billion just like fun ones. And so I joined the ballroom dance class that like Naomi's also in because Kay was gonna be in it, but then like he had a conflict with that, so he switched out of it. And so like now I'm in this dancing class and I'm like, yeah, like there are other homies who are in it too, but like I originally joined it so I could be with Kay, but like after I joined it, I also told other people, like, hey, join. And so, like, we got another one of our roommates, Ryan, to join. But now Kay left. And I'm like, bro, what are we doing? And he's like, oh, join, like, this comedy class that I, like, picked up instead. And I'm like, ah, what do I do? And so, I don't know. Like, it was, I think for me, like, it was just kind of like, ah, like, these journalism classes are a sunk cost. Let me try to, like, maximize my last two units by, like, picking one class that's fun. And I think, like, another thing that I've thought about with, like, courses is, like, the scheduling and timing a lot too. Like I think if I see a Friday thing on a class, ooh, it might be the best course in the world, but I probably will not take that thing. And yeah, I don't know, like, but I think like kind of a recurring theme like across all three, like I think trying to get classes with other people that I know, that I'm friends with, that I like enjoy, and like taking classes with them is always fun. And also I think it challenges me to like actually pay attention in class, because I think it's so easy for me, like, which I don't know, because I don't enjoy my classes most of the times, like I'll pull up to class and I'll just like be in the corner and I will not say a word for the entire semester. I'll just kind of like listen and do my thing and then just be like, bruh. But then you'll see me pull up to challenge and I'm like screaming my head off. And like it's just so different. So like I think there's an accountability that kind of comes with like knowing someone in the class. So I'm like, ah, like maybe I do have to kind of like engage or like listen or pay attention, and like yeah, instead of just like random homies who just like, oh, like this is a quiet guy, maybe that's just like what he does. So I don't know, like that's like another thought that kind of comes in when like I think looking for classes and courses and stuff like that.
Yeah. I do want to add just because I think Josiah, you also talked about like this being your first semester where you like made some more, I guess, thoughtful decisions. And for me, I think this podcast came at a good time too, because last semester was like a wreck for me. I initially started off with like, I think I had 4, maybe 5 classes, because I think one of them was, okay, it might have been 4, and I had piano with Chris, Noah, and Serena, and I had O-chem, and then I had 2 IR classes, and so I thought it would be a light semester. I knew O-chem was going to be, like, terrible, but I thought taking that fun class with friends was, like, at least going to be a medium, an outlet for me, and that was just not the case for me. It ended up, I was just very stressed that semester, and again, because it's my senior year, I'm trying to do all these things with all the senior people, and so I ended up having to drop piano first, which was very sad, because that was supposed to be my fun class, and I had to drop that one thing that I had, and then more than halfway through the class, I was just struggling with O-chem a lot. And I think I was doing too much too, and like just saying yes to all of these fun things. And so I was not studying for O-chem. And the chances of me like passing, I realized, were very slim. So I had to make the decision to drop it past the like W deadline thing. So I ended up with a W on my transcript, which is scary for me because I am going to apply to medical school and W's are not seen as the best. So yeah, it took a lot of prayer just through that semester. And so now this semester, I really had to narrow down my decisions with like even just fun classes, because for me, like I said, it was not actually super helpful. It ended up like taking away time from my main classes. So yeah, that's something I thought about.
Yeah. And I think like those humbling moments suck of like I think there's some times where I'm like, ah, like I can do it all. Like I can handle it. I can figure it all out. And bro, it's tough when you realize like, shoot, I can't. And like it, like there's like, cause I think I had a similar thing. I dropped a class past the W period last semester. And then I just ended up taking only 12 units last semester, which bro, a semester with 12 units was, oh my goodness. Anyways, so sad that that'll never happen again. But like, I don't know, like that like realization when you're like, shoot, bro, like I have to, in a way, I think like my prideful self like didn't like it because it's like, oh, like that's like quitting, that's like tapping out almost, which like, I think there's some circumstances where like, oh, like it is quitting and maybe don't quit, but like I think there's, I think in this situation and like from hearing what Noemi talked about and, like I think there are like good moments of like, man, like you know that like, you don't have the capacity or bandwidth to like do that, and like it's I think there's like signs of maturity when you're like, well, I'm gonna have to like say no so I can like function with the rest of my life, and like that's tough a lot of times. But yeah, like humbling, definitely for sure. I feel like, but I know we talked mostly about kind of classes, and one of my favorite things that Neil Walker, like the director of Challenge, said once, like he was like, don't let your studies get in the way of your education. I think he said it as a joke, and I mm-hmm. use that line so often with my parents of like, oh, like they're like, oh, like how's your homework, whatever. I'm like, mom, I'm just like not letting my studies get in the way of my education, you know, I'm just like holistic and everything or whatever. I do think it's like it's true to some extent, but like yeah, when you're at college there's so many things other than like just like classes to choose from, to like engage in, to experience. And I guess kind of like traveling back a little bit, in the beginning of like our time at USC for like all of us, like what was it like deciding and choosing like what I'm gonna invest in or like really outside of class like spend my time in? And was it like figuring that out for y'all?
So like my first semester was definitely more like, kind of the illustration I use is first semester was like a funnel where I was like putting everything through the funnel, which meant like kind of going to all like the club fairs and going to like kind of a sort of living life trying to avoid any sort of FOMO. And I think like, yeah, obviously it's like not ideal. I don't know if it was like wrong, because I think it meant that I had a good idea of things moving forward. Like, especially being if, and to anyone who's in more creative industries, there's sort of always this period of like, hey, I got to put myself out there. I got to like kind of chase opportunities and feel things out. But like, I don't know. It wasn't obviously ideal. Like it, I don't know if there was like a, hey, was this a good decision, bad decision? Like, I think there's questionable decisions made there, but it was, you know, first semester. And then like pretty much every other subsequent semester, it's been more like the illustration that I've used is it feels like I have like a palette for like paint. And I'm like putting on the paint colors that I specifically want for the palette. Ooh, because like, geez. I think like, and yeah, I haven't really thought through kind of what I mentioned a freshman year and that first semester. I haven't actually really looked back and gone, hey, was this good ideas versus bad? But pretty much every semester since has been, okay, I want to have this in my life and this and this. Like, these are kind of the clubs or things to participate in or whatnot. But what's interesting is that approach has meant that subsequent semesters, like, the amount of extracurricular things I've been involved in have really dropped. Like, it's gone from, like, a lot to a very few. Granted, I think my certainly you could say this is being compensated with a lot of academics that are taking some of those roles, but or academic activities, but I don't know, it's been kind of interesting to think through how that has changed in terms of just doing more things, but kind of it weaning out towards just a couple. So I don't know. I think it has been more consistent, though, of me kind of looking at the semester and going, okay, what do I kind of want in this semester? Like, what do I want that I need to kind of seek out? which has just meant a lot less kind of chasing, I guess. Which I will say, circling back, kind of as a someone interested in more creative like industries and whatnot, I see the goal largely being to avoid the chase. Because like if you talk with people who are into, who are like actors, or I feel like actors maybe have it worse, but you think of like the people who are constantly throwing themselves out there being like, hey, can I like do this or do this or do this, right? You're constantly trying to get eyes on you. And like part of the reason why I think I was like, yeah, I don't really want to do that or something like that is like you're kind of putting, you're just constantly chasing, right? It's like you don't have like the you're kind of at the will of others, which to an extent that's humbling and it can be fruitful, but I think like there's like the balance of that with, I think, trying to get to a point where you're being more conscious of your decisions and you're not like letting that chase kind of dictate your life. Like you're being more, kind of, I don't know if it's thoughtful or I don't know. I guess cause I also speak to this not having a lot of, credibility in this, but for me, it has seemed like the goal has been to get to the point where I don't really have to chase and I am more able to be sought out, I guess, in a positive way to where or even that I'm just independent from that because, I don't want to have to be, I feel like if you're in the position to where you're chasing, it's once again, you're in the funnel, right? Where you're putting everything through it. And that just feels like that's not a very sustainable kind of lifestyle. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that made sense. I feel like I got a little confused in saying that, but
I feel like, yeah, like I agree. It felt like, definitely the earlier years or semesters, at least, like felt like a mad dash of like, I gotta establish and not like get my own, but like figure out where like standing ground is for me in college. Especially with like time and figuring out, what I do in that, right? Like, I think, yeah, similarly, it felt like first semester, like when I look back and think about some of the things that I did or like, I was like, bro, like why? But also like, I'm like happy that I did that. Like, cause like I explored and like figured out like that whittling down process that you're talking about. And, like it felt like it, maybe like it wasn't like anything on paper on my schedule, but like, it felt like there was such I remember Josiah and I used to do this on like Sundays. Like sometimes we'd be hanging out and it's like, all right, it's Sunday, about to be a new week, time to like send out texts for like, oh, like let's hang out or like let's get a meal or let's do this or like let's figure out this thing or like when I'm gonna do this. And like I think freshman year in my mind that felt like such like a grind of like, oh, I gotta like stay on top of it and like figure this out and like get things scheduled or whatever. And like to an extent, like I feel like what you said of like being sought out instead of getting into that chase, like I felt like that has like come through or like come true in like later semesters of like I think getting established first in like the rhythms and just like the pace of college, because I think the pace of college is like something very different than like high school for me, at least. It's like always on, and like also like the opportunities, because you're like always near a bunch of people, like the possibilities and the ability to like grow or like do things with people or like work on XYZ, like it's always there, right? And like since everyone else is also like running, it feels like, oh, like if I'm not doing this, then like, yo, like I'm missing out or I'm falling behind or I'm not doing something right, right? And but I think like once, like I think for me getting established in like community and like friends that I had like around me, and then also like established in like, oh, like this is what like the daily rhythm of like college looks like and kind of adjusting to that pace, yeah, like it felt like it was easier. And maybe like to like if I'm talking to like some high schooler, like they'll see my life and it looks like to them that like it's super busy and fast, and maybe it is like that same pace, but maybe it's just like me getting used to it. So maybe it's like a perspective shift rather than like, oh, it actually has like been like coming to me more like easily, or I don't know what it may be. But yeah, I definitely felt that like it feels like, which is weird because like I'm just like getting ready and learning how to like slow down and like play at a pace, or not play at a pace, live at a pace that is like, you know, manageable for me. And like now I'm gonna go like graduate and like I don't even know what I'm gonna do 5 months from now, but like we'll see, you know. And which I think is exciting to some extent, but like it's like, ah, I gotta like figure out this whole thing all over again and then figure out new like good things that I'll have to like say no to, or like new things to juggle and stuff like that, which is like but yeah.
I think for me it's interesting looking back, because I think like even just growing up, I was always super involved in ministry and just my church in general. Like that was my main community. And so for me, school was kind of secondary to that. And even though I think I did do a lot in even in high school too, I mean, if we're at USC, we must have done a lot of things and we're on top of our studies. But I think that kind of was secondary to me because I was so involved with church. And so when it came to like senior year of high school and me thinking about like what I wanted to do at USC, for me, I think I viewed it more as like, okay, I'm gonna go study here, but I'm still going to come back to like this community. And for me, that was here back at home. And a lot of things have changed since then. COVID also happened. So my first year plans just kind of flew out the window because of that. And so, yeah, my freshman year, I knew that I had to be involved in some kind of like pre-health like club. And I did want to do like volunteering. Bless you.
Thank you.
And so I think they had like these virtual like fairs at USC, but that to me just seemed very awkward. So I didn't do that, but I did like look up Christian ministries, actually. That was like the first thing I started looking into, just because I was like, I don't know, I know I will be spending a lot of time at school, so why not like just keep myself involved while I'm at school? But again, in the back of my head, it was always like, I'm gonna still come back home and do all the things that I'm doing here and continue that. And so when I got here on campus my sophomore year, and they asked me to be part of DT, I think that's when everything changed. And I just started really becoming just involved with community at Challenge. And so I think that kind of started to become my main community. And still school to me was like kind of secondary, I would say. I think I haven't really ever struggled with putting like school before just my commitment and relationship with God, thankfully. But yeah, I think now one thing that I always think about when I'm trying to figure out what my week is going to look like, it's first like MT stuff, or when I was a sophomore, like DT stuff. And then after that, I usually would think about like my classes, and then I have my like pre-health club still. I also really just am interested in like the criminal justice system. So I found a club, it's called Prison Education Project, where they volunteer with incarcerated people and just like provide classes for free to them. And so that kind of became into my schedule too. So I think that's how I kind of choose now, is just, I think community is always first for me, and usually that's people from church or just friends that I have in common, or that are really centered around God. I think that's like probably the most important thing to me, and then school, and then like fun stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think that like begins to kind of touch on like a pretty like, I think, common, like, not internal battle or internal struggle, but like kind of weighing of priorities that like happens to, I think, a lot of people when they come to college, especially like people who are maybe like grew up Christian or like are Christian and trying to like figure out how to like balance and navigate through life. And like, I think this is also like a thing that I'm seeing with some of my younger cousins, like like, I have a couple of younger cousins who are in middle school, like, which is, like, yeah, like, that's far away from college. But, like, they're thinking about, like, oh, like, what is high school look like? And also, like, what is, like, staying involved with, like, Christian, like, I guess their youth group or whatever, and, like, balancing extracurriculars and, like, oh, like, I want to, like, look impressive on, like, my, do they have resumes for, like, no, it's not called, it's, like, their extracurricular list. I don't even know what it's called, bro. Like, extracurricular list, but, like, I also, like, you know, want to dedicate this time and, like, also, like, talking to, like, high schoolers or, like, first-year college students and, like, figuring out, like, those priorities, right? And I think there's often a clash between, like, oh, like, I think especially maybe on the pre-med side and realm of, like, things for, like, no, I mean, like, you see, like, oh, like, either I can, like, you know, really, like, dive into pre-med and, like, grind hard, or I can, like, you know, I have to choose between God and school or, like, God and career. And I think, like, there's definitely sometimes, like, people choose one or the other. And, like, I think there's also ways, like, to choose both. And, like, God doesn't have to be, like, opposing your, like, career path or whatever that looks like, right? And I think it's interesting because for me, like, I've personally, like I said, journalism, don't really care about it. So for me, like, in my college career, like, it's been pretty easy to be like, I care about spending time with people more than going to class, because I think that has been true, right? And in, like, balancing both of those, like, because I think, yeah, like, Noemi, like, you're one of the pre-med people that I know that, like, that balances both well. And, like, Josiah also, I think you are someone who, like, runs at both your passion for storytelling and passion for just, like, God in general, like well. And, like, I think Josiah has had, like, an interesting route in that with, like, also, like, being in Freshman Connection, which is not, like, isolated from parts of the other, like, challenge community, but, like, it is its own little, like, section and subsection of things. Like, what has that been like for you guys, like, kind of reckoning with the, like, oh, like, I can't just, like, do all, like, or, like, go full throttle at, like, both everything, or, like, what is, like, sifting through those different priorities of ministry and, like, relationships and also, like, school, career, like, preparing myself well for, like, post college stuff. I know that's, like, a big question, and that's probably, like, something we're still figuring out now, but I don't know, just kind of, like, wanted to open that up, I guess.
I think it's really hard. Like, I think that is actually, like, such a difficult thing to do. 'Cause I know for me, like, I would almost boil it, I don't know. So when you were saying that, Matthew, kind of what I boiled it down to, and I'm not sure if this is it, is I think if our priorities are in order, living those out is, like, a whole nother really difficult question. Because I think, like, that's where it's, like, the fact that they shouldn't be competing priorities. Like, it should be, like, hey, I'm, like, a Christian and a follower of Christ. And, like, that is my identity. Everything else falls under it. But, like, the fact that it's over it doesn't mean that it's, like, hey, like, that's why we do everything. Right? Like, that's, like, that's different than, oh, yeah, that's my biggest time commitment, right? Because it's over everything. So in theory, everything should be going towards that. So I think that's, like, that's really hard to live out personally. And, like, I know, gosh, it's really hard to, for me, it's really hard because I kind of enjoy what I do. And so it's very hard for me to kind of, like, I think balance everything. I don't know. I think often I know I need to think about kind of, hey, why am I doing stuff? Like, that is an important part of this whole kind of staying on track, because I think, I think there should be a common, even amidst the, I think amidst different activities, there should be, like, a common kind of, I don't know, direction. And so, like, I think, that's something I've been thinking about more recently. 'Cause I think, like, the battle between what actions align with priorities and, like, what actions don't is very tricky, because that is open to interpretation, right? So like, I know for me, like recently I released my latest short film, and
fire short film, by the way, go check it out.
thank you Matthew, please do. It was such a joy finishing it, but it was really tough because in finishing it I was like, finishing it completely ruined my schedule. Like it was like, I knew that was going to kind of happen, but it was like one of those things to where, I was like, okay, I want to have it out before the end of the year. I'm just going to finish it. But it meant there was a couple like really late nights. So that just means like my schedule for kind of like, I don't know, eating, sleeping, like spiritual disciplines, all just kind of for like probably about a day and a half, were just really, really weird. Probably like 2 days. We're just like wacky. And so like after that, I like released it. I'm like, phew, like, oh, I feel so much better. And then I was like, well, shoot, like, did I like mess up along? Like, is the way that I finished it, like, did I like mess up in how I did it? Right. Because my schedule was inconsistent. And that's where it's like, well, like, if I really think about it, like, I think my motive has been at an all right point. I don't think my motive has been bad. Obviously, I think checking my motive as I'm doing it is really good, and checking my kind of, hey, how does this connect to my identity? Like, is my identity still in check, kind of with my, like, I think identity in Christ kind of superseding everything. But I think that's where it's like tough, because obviously editing a short film is not necessarily like you could say, oh, well, it's like this priority, when in reality, if like, following Christ is above all of our priorities, like how does it fit under that in some way? So I think that's like, those are kind of questions that are really hard to answer, because there is no like straight answer. You're just like, I don't know how to balance this. But I think as a creator, it's very much like it's something I just need to think of. I need to kind of constantly be pondering and be checking to make sure that I'm like, my heart's in the right place with all that. And it was crazy too, because like literally like that same weekend I was like, oh man, like how do I like make sure that like this is a good thing? And like very much like I think in finishing the film and in the film being well received, it was very much like this is a praiseworthy thing. Like I'd be like, God, like thank you so much. Like this is literally all you, like nothing I did here, you know. And like getting that rhythm helps, right? It helps kind of humble ourselves. But I think like as a creative, it's making sure that like our creative disciplines or our art forms or our ability to design or whatever, like not only should that be to an extent separate from our creation, because that as an artist really helps in being able to actually create art and not just constantly feel attacked if people critique your art, but then also separating that a second layer and going like, hey, this is like, I'm doing this to like glorify God. And like that chase of kind of like constantly following Christ and like taking up our cross daily, like that supersedes that, right? And like in the same areas, living into community and really like pouring into others and making sure we're like fostering just our relationships well, including our relationship with Him well. I think like making sure those are in check helps kind of all the rest of the priorities fall into place, because I do think it's like one of those things to where you know, you could have great debates as to why someone does something in terms of how that connects to their priorities. But I don't know. I guess in short, it's very hard to demarcate what activities constitute which. But I guess on the more positive side, because I haven't expressed this yet, I do think another way to balance it is actually just scheduling, like making sure, hey, are important things built in? Am I like spending time doing things that I know are good in terms of priorities, which for me, I think Freshman Connection has been a very good way to do that, because I constantly need to be putting time into that. And that's something that stretches me, right? Because it might not be my first instinct to be like, ah, shoot, I have to like kind of follow up with people and like make sure they're doing well. And there's times I totally fail at that. But I think it's been a very helpful kind of push of like, okay, yeah, I need to keep up with this, which is forcing me to live more into those priorities. So I don't know. I know that was a long answer. I just think it's like, it's a really hard question for me, at least. Like, I don't know. I don't know if there's a perfect or best way to do it, but yeah.
And I do think, as an aside, this is our quick plug for Josiah's short film. Like, I watched it when he sent it out, and I think, no spoilers, but I think, like, your take on how imagination and growing up and maturing works, and like that reckoning with like parts of your younger or past self, like it made me reflect a lot on who like I have grown to be in like the last X amount of years, and like what my younger self or like younger imagination would think of my current self. And like I think partially like there's beauty in for me to like see like how like I'm doing things that like I wouldn't, that my younger self wouldn't know that he would have wanted or needed, but also like there's things that I'm doing that I think my younger self would be proud and happy about, and also like things that I'm doing that like he'd be like disappointed in. And like I don't know, it's like it's hard to like verbalize that like weird introspection that you can have with yourself. And I think that already like for me like was like encouraging and stretching and challenging. And so like I think in that, like I don't know how other people took it, but like that I think your short film like communicated and like spoke to me, and like yeah, I don't know, like that was something that I think was good. So watch Josiah's short film. It's on his Instagram and YouTube, so I don't know how to plug it better, but yeah, like do that. And I think I like when you were saying like how like yes, like Jesus is this superseding identity that's overall, and then that like kind of informs different actions. I definitely feel that, and like I think for me a lot of times it is easy to start off with like that and like have those like good motivations, but then it's hard to keep that vision, and then hard to like continue to live through that, like that knowledge and power and assurance of like I'm a child of God, and like here's what I'm gonna do. And I think a lot of times like then like it can get through like going through the motions of like, oh, I'm just doing this because I'm doing this, and like I forget like what, like the reason why I'm doing this, and like I have to like be reminded of that, right? And and then like I think sometimes in that, like there's different interpretations of like how you can live as a child of God in like this world, right? Like, which is why like none of us are the same. And I think so something I did last year, which was like a thing, like me and my discipler Kaleo, he's been on the podcast before, like one thing that he worked on with me a lot was like getting me a hobby, because I would go to class, go to work, do like meaningful meals, I'd do like stuff with homeless people, and then I would just like meet with like hang out with people and talk about God or the Bible, and like that was it. And he was like, bro, like do something for fun, man. And I think there's like a conversation that we had where I talked to him about how I have decided not to watch movies anymore for like a period in sophomore year, and he was like, bro, what? Like, because I really do enjoy movies and watching movies and like talking about them, and like I think I told him, I was like, bro, like yeah, like I could watch a movie by myself at Bonsalo or something, but it feels like in those 2 hours I could be doing something more. I could be like meeting with someone, or I could be praying, or I could be reading my Bible, and like those seem like directly better things for the kingdom of God than watching like a movie about like I don't know, whatever drama. And so like it feels like it's hard for me to rationalize that like I should be able to like, you know, like spend my time watching a movie. Like that seems selfish, and like, you know, like we are like as we are, what's like the verse about like the chaff and the wind, like we just like blow away so instantly, and like our time is so short, and so like it's important, like, you know, night is coming soon, and like as long as I'm in the world, I'm like the light of the world, so like as long as it's day, like I'm gonna work and whatever. And like so like I was going through this whole like these whole like thought spirals of just like, bruh. And then like he kind of had to tell me like, bro, like God does not need you, like you are not important, which was humbling, and that's like another thing. But I think recently I watched the Kung Fu Panda 4 trailer, did not like it, and so I decided I'm gonna write my own Kung Fu Panda 4 script, which like I got over that little like weird like thought spiral of not watching movies, which like sometimes I still do question myself. But anyways, I think like Josiah said with like the daydreamer and like finishing that up and like things just getting wonky and weird and like kind of I think a fear that I've had is like, oh, like if I get carried away with like movies or like writing and stuff, like then like that's just like the devil distracting me and like getting me away from like the best that God has called me to. Because like I think like writing stories and like writing stories of like you said earlier, hope, that can encourage people and point people to Jesus, like that is like that's like a good thing, I think. But like, oh, if it's pulling me away from best, then like it's bad. And like, I remember, like, I have like in my journal written down like the day that I started writing, like my Kung Fu Panda 4 pitch. It's like, I wrote down prayers of like, God, like help me not get carried away by this Kung Fu Panda 4 pitch. Like, help me like to like do it like in a way that glorifies you and like where I can have fun and enjoy like the creativity things that you have like blessed me with or whatever. But like, I don't want to like get distracted or like thrown off course because of this. And like, I feel like in the past I have, and I think probably with the Kung Fu Panda 4 pitch, like there were a couple days where I just straight up like, that's literally all I just kind of like wrote, you know. And which like, it's a tough balance, because I think like that's a passion, and that's a passion that like God has given us, and like God has given us like, and like, it's not bad to like enjoy good gifts that God has given, right? And obviously like in moderation, but like figuring out that balance and like where to draw the line, or where to like not draw the line, or where to be like, oh, like, you know, it's okay, like you can like give yourself grace in that. Just like, bro, like I don't really know. And like, that's like Josiah said, super freaking hard to like live out. And yeah, I don't know, Normie, if you have thoughts on that, or because
No, yeah, you guys said it very well. And I definitely need to go watch Josiah's film. So another plug for that. but yeah, I think the same for me. It's hard because I really do feel a calling for like the things that I'm studying, and just in pretty much everything I do. I do think God gives us passions and hobbies and all of those things. And definitely they can also be a distraction. And so that is really hard. And I think for me on the pre-med track, one thing I struggle with is just, I think everyone knows how hard being a pre-med is. And I feel like I'm not even in the hardest part yet. And so I think that's something that's scary to me, is that it can be confusing, like why would God call me to do this if like it's gonna be such a like time drainer. But I think I definitely have like shifted a lot of my perspective, and I think one thing that keeps me going is just knowing that God has like this calling for me. And so even if I am maybe not necessarily spending direct time with God, I can definitely glorify God in all the moments, and like even in just studying too. Something that I've learned and have been trying to implement more is just like praying every time I study for a class, or just thanking God for all the classes that like I'm in, even if I don't enjoy them, or if I'm, you know, they're taking up a lot of my time. I think there's definitely a lot of ways that we can still incorporate God and just remind ourselves that like God has this calling for us. And so I think that can kind of take away that, like, I think sometimes guilt of like, oh, we're not necessarily like, maybe we're not spending time in church or with youth group or ministry. But yeah, I think our passions and our hobbies, like definitely God can use for his glory. So yeah, I think for me, even though it is scary and I don't know how I'm going to navigate it, I do think that God has called me to this field for a reason. And maybe it is to break some of those like just stereotypes of making your career your life. I think for me, something I've been thinking about is like how I can not make my career my life, because I think, yeah, I think we're called just like for so many things and for bigger things. And so our careers can be a major part and can be a tool of God in our lives. But definitely like that priority is our relationship with him, and in all the things like after that is where we still have the opportunity to glorify God. But yeah, of course, and it's like, in actually practicing that, it's definitely hard, and I'm still learning to that. But I think, like you said, too, having like a discipler or just somebody that like, can mentor you is super helpful, because they can call you out on a lot of things and can definitely like humble you. And I think that's very necessary too. So I am very pro that.
I feel that, yeah. And I think like another part of like saying no to good things, because I think a lot of times like you can like overcorrect almost, and like, not to say there's like an echo chamber of like a lot of things in any community that you spend a lot of time with that has like similar beliefs, you're gonna have an echo chamber, right? Like, and sometimes an echo chamber is good, especially if it's like filled with God's truth and goodness. Anyways, but like I do think a lot of like common terms and phrases that like are used, especially like in challenge, like sometimes it can make us overcorrect, like, oh, say no to good things. And like sometimes like you can get into the thing of where you're like maybe saying no to too many things, or like, oh, like there is like a best thing that God has offered in front of you, and like sometimes like you don't take it or whatever. And like that's also another part of like the equation of like, ah, figuring that out, right? And so I guess I have a question on that of like, maybe, yeah, like what's an example or a story of both ends, like one time where you said no to a good thing and it was good, or maybe when you said, wait, shoot, did I even say that right? When you said, wait, shoot, when you said yes to a, wait, when you said no to a good thing, like, oh, like turn down something that was good and that, and it turned out to be good. And okay, we can do, oh, shoot, this is tough, we can do any variation that you want, tell any story or any variation of, oh, I said no to a good thing and it was good, and I said no to a good thing and it was bad, or I said yes to a good thing and it was good, and I said yes to a good thing and it was bad. Anyways, basically, if you guys have thoughts or like examples of like how that has played out practically, not practically, like has played out like really, really in your life, yeah, dude, words are hard. Anyways, thoughts. I don't know if that made sense,
but... I have several thoughts already, but I want to be conscious of them. Actually, they're both quick, so I'll quickly go at them.
Go for it.
The first one is, like Matthew, I went through the entire overthinking process of being like, hey, I could be working on stuff, and like work is more productive, and like why wouldn't I just work on stuff, which is like so unbased, guys. It's just like don't think like that. But I remember like this is an example of maybe kind of both, because I was like and it's, I don't know, it's tough. So coming into college, I have like kind of always played video games, and it's been like a way that, looking back, I think I undersell, because I've kept up with friends through video games alone, right? And like that was like in certain parts of my life, that was like how I socialized. And like that might be sad, but not to say that was the only way I socialized, guys. I did things, but like that was like a major like common interest thing where it's like, hey, we could do this together, and like it was a way to kind of build our relationships even in playing games. And so like I often undersell that, but like I was like, yeah, I don't feel like it's really productive. And finally this summer I was talking about it with I was in Germany helping out with a similar campus ministry. I was talking with my team lead about it, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like you could use, like, I feel like that could be like valuable. Like you could like, it's like a common interest kind of thing. And I was like, okay, like interesting. And then like literally that same day, I was able to talk with someone about like a game that we had both played. And I was like, all right, I get it. Like, sure. Like fine. You know, it's useful, which I think like what changed is like, with that, I'm now more open to it as a way to actually get to know people. It doesn't mean I just like my life has drastically changed, because I am unfortunately so busy right now that that's not something I do a lot. But I do it a lot with friends now, where it's like, I mean, in our house, I feel like we kind of constantly play Smash together. And like, it's been a way that consistent of being here versus being back home, that's a thing I can do with friends. I'm still not great about it, but, or great at it for that matter. So that's one. And then the second one that's really short is, I think like, there's a temptation to, if you have a good community, to not go outside that community. And sometimes it's valid in like the sense of, if you really can't actually be present, like don't like fake it, you know, like don't be like, oh yeah, like let's hang out, and then just never, you know. But I know for me, I think it's been very transformative to start to actually make friends in class, because like it was really cool. Like I distinctly remember it was like, I think Monday of finals or something, like one of the last days we had finals, leaving and being like, it was me and then my two friends, and we had basically constantly studied for classes. We'd been in classes together for 2 years at this point. And this is the first time, like 2.5 years in, where we're like
consistently kind of studying together. Whenever there's a test, we're like, all right, when are we meeting? Like, let's do stuff. Let's get dinner. You know, let's hang out, study this together. And it was like the first time where like we were leaving and it was like, this is a good semester, guys. Like, hope you guys have like great breaks and stuff. And it was like, that was like way more meaningful than like, all right, see you. Like, I don't really engage with you because you're not part of my community. And it's just a lot more opportunities to be, I think just, I don't know. The phrasing here is what's tricky. Cause it gives us more opportunities to, share our faith and impact people. Well, I'll put it that way. Cause you could say evangelistic, but evangelistic has a lot of, I think, connotations, but that is depending on how you use the word, that's a good word for it too. So I think like that was one where I think I had said no to that for far too long until I realized like, wait, shoot, I kind of need to be doing this. And then like, it was like, wait, this is actually nice. Which isn't to say that I always have deep conversations with my friends as we study. It just means that I actually just have friends that I study with. And that's like positive because I can actually say I have friends in class, and that is a common thing to start building relationships. So, yeah, there's two.
Dude. Yeah, that's good. Go video games. Video games for the win. That's the conclusion.
No, yeah, I think similarly, one thing I learned, maybe a little bit too late for me, well, actually, it's never too late. I won't say that. But for this specific just situation, I was living with three roommates my sophomore year. And it was USC housing, but it was off campus. And I think one thing that I kind of just wish that I had done more is build deeper relationships with them, just because they were outside of my community. But I think that also could have been great opportunities just to have those memories to like look back on too, and definitely share my faith. But I do recall like just there were moments where I did say yes to them, and we had like a blast. And I think those are the moments that I will remember now, still. And I think after that, they definitely did just really strengthen our relationships, because we all had different beliefs. And even though we did, like, we very much respected and just enjoyed each other's company and got along well. But I do like wish that I had spent more time even just planning or initiating things with them, and just to get to know them better. So that's one thing I can agree on. I think saying no to a good thing per se for me was, I think, this last semester, just with like piano and O-chem even, which I know could sound weird because that is like a class that I need, and as a pre-med that's like a super big class, but I think for me at the time I was reading this book called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, and I think it fit just so well in that season, because I was just reflecting on how us as humans, like now today, we literally have like our phones at all times accessible to us, and we don't really have these moments of boredom. And so I think one thing that I made it my goal kind of is to be bored in life now, because I think those are the moments where like you get to sit down with your thoughts and really think through them. Because I think that too, like I just reflected and like thought about how I honestly don't really sit with my thoughts anymore, because any like free time, downtime that I have, I can just like pull out my phone. So yeah, I think saying no to O-chem and piano and being able to be a halftime student, like even though I was extremely bored a lot of times in the semester because I had so much free time, like I think I really needed those moments just to like sit down and think through my relationship with God and just talk to him more. So yeah, really grateful for that.
Yeah, dang, that's good. That's good. That's interesting. Now I'm gonna have to think about that. Should I be more bored? Shoot, man. Really gonna have to. Dang. Okay, let me quickly tell my story so I don't have to think about it too long or get convicted. I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was a joke for legal and eternal reasons. That was a joke. anyways, I think for me, there were these two back-to-back Sundays that I think encapsulated the like saying no to good things or saying yes to good whatever. However, I don't know what the order was, but there's this one Sunday after church. Usually like our like college group, like we kind of like go to lunch after church and like hang out and talk. And so we went, people were having, we went to this restaurant, Gus's Barbecue, which I think is kind of overrated, not gonna lie. Anyways, and like while we were there, I was like, hey, yo guys, we should watch the Paw Patrol movie. And like, I've never watched anything Paw Patrol. I just like hear it from my preschool students and they love Paw Patrol or whatever. And like my mom talks about it too sometimes, like about how her students love Paw Patrol. And I was like, this is so funny. No one's ever going to want to do it. And lo and behold, an hour later, I was walking around in a mall with like just like the weirdest group of people, like waiting for the next showing of Paw Patrol. And like just for an hour and a half, we're in this Crenshaw Mall, just like going from shop to shop, killing time. I'm there with Kay, like my roommate, and like a couple of like freshmen, like some other like sophomore. There's just like a weird group of people that would never hang out together. And I was like, ah, it's like kind of fun. Then we like go watch the Paw Patrol movie. Like the Paw Patrol movie sucks. It's like not good. It's like made for 2-year-olds. And like, I was like, this is dumb. The Paw Patrol movie started at 4:30, ended at 6:15. And at 7 p.m., we had a ministry team meeting where like all like this like small group kind of leaders of our college group, we like get together and like kind of like prepare and talk and I don't know, do stuff. And so like, that meeting is at 7 p.m. I am currently in Crenshaw. The meeting is in Monterey Park, which like if you know Southern California geography, like it is not a close drive. And Kay and I were the only ones on ministry team who like at that like hangout that had to go. Neither of us had a car, and there were I think 6 people total there and only one car with like 5 seats. And so like just like no way to get back. And so Kay and I ended up taking this Uber back to campus, and then we got picked up by some friends who took us to the MT meeting. And it was just terrible because we had to like waste money. Okay, so first like I wasted money on that Paw Patrol movie that was dumb. Then I wasted money on this Uber. And like I think during the Uber, Ken and I both fell asleep or something because we were just like so freaking tired. It had been like a long weekend. And so like we pulled up to this MT meeting where we were supposed to like talk and encourage and strategize and, you know, uplift one another. And we were both just dead. And we're just like, we hate this. And like I think during the time I was like, it's not too bad. This was fun. But looking back, I was like, wow, that like... I think like I entered that MT meeting like just not well, and like it was just it also like that day led to a lot of other like bad things, and it was just like a waste of time. Was not good when I should have been like resting or doing anything else. Like I could have had like a 4-hour chunk to like Sabbath or like rest or be bored, sit in my thoughts. And so I was like, well, that kind of sucked. That was like, to this day, like Kay and I sometimes we just like look at each other and we're like, bro, like going to watch Paw Patrol was the dumbest thing we've ever done. And like, I don't know, it's like a joke that we make, but like a serious joke. But the next Sunday, same thing, like we like are at church and then afterwards we're fellowshipping and like we're talking about like, oh, like do people want to go to lunch? And I think this week like some of our friends were getting together to like throw a surprise birthday party for one of our friends, Mia. It was her birthday like the day before and like it was gonna be a surprise, so like her friends were like, oh, please like pull up at like 1 p.m. So usually that means like, oh, like not gonna go to lunch, just gonna go straight back to campus. But then one of my other friends, Hope, was like, hey, yo, there's this guy who's like coming to church and kind of like interested in community, like I want you to meet him, bro. I think that'd be good for you to meet him. And then like yeah, like, come to lunch with me, come to lunch with me. And Hope, that was like a very accurate impression of her voice and her demeanor. She's very, actually, it wasn't. Anyways, she's very passionate and good at, what do you call it, convincing. And I was like, bro, like, man, like, I know if I go to lunch, then I'm going to pull up late to this birthday party. And, like, I was supposed to, like, bring some, like, juice and drinks and stuff. And I was like, ah, like, maybe I shouldn't do this. But then Hope convinced me. I don't know how. Like, I don't even know how it happened, but I think. So I did. I went to get lunch. And, like, we end around 2:15. And I pull up to the apartment. And good thing traffic delayed her for an hour and a half coming back from home. So she, like, didn't come, and, like, I still made it for the surprise. And then since then, like, the guy that I met that day, that Hope connected me with, like, we've been meeting, like, reading the Bible, and now he's, like, he's been, like, really growing and seeking God, and he's, like, coming around to, or, like, wants to come around to, like, things this year, like, with, like, church and, like, Bible study and, like, meeting up and reading the Bible. And, like, I've been really encouraged by, like, how, like, that friendship has grown and, like, seen his heart, like, individually for God grow and, like, his desire to, like, he was, like, asking me questions. I was like, oh, dang, bro, what the freak? And seeing, like, the growth in, like, just, like, the last 2 months of us knowing each other and, like, honestly, like, thinking back, like, I think God had his way in, like, oh, like, delay, like, making sure Mia didn't get there at 1 p.m. or whatever, and making sure that, like, all the time was perfect. And so, like, I think that was the thing where, like, I kind of walked in saying, like, oh, like, this is probably one of those times where I have to say no to a good thing. But, like, God made it happen, and, like, and maybe it was a thing where I should have said no, but, like, God still redeemed it for his good. And, like, I think that's, like, another thing that is super cool. Like, even when we say yes to good things that we shouldn't, like, God reconciles that thing time and time and again. I think, like, I can go back and point to so many times where, like, God has reconciled my mistakes, or, like, I've sold the bag, but God's like, it's okay. He picked it up and, I don't know, made it into a bigger bag. Okay, that metaphor didn't work, but yeah, I don't know, someone can write a worship song on that, like, I fumbled the bag, he picked it up, turned it into a bigger bag, hallelujah. I don't know, Elevation Worship's next big, I don't know, anyways, I'm just talking. But yeah, I don't know, those are kind of thoughts. But yeah, other than that, like, again, I came into this podcast with no questions and no thoughts of, like, what to talk about. But I think one last thing that I do, like, I think would be nice to hit on, because we were talking before the podcast, like, oh, hopefully my kids will one day listen to it, and we were joking about how I'll force them to listen to it every week, or, like, how sometimes my, I think, younger cousins, like, they used to listen, I think they stopped listening, so sad, but, like, if you were talking to maybe even, like, your future children who are, like, going to college, or, like, like, someone who's starting college now, or, like, in high school, or thinking about it, like, and trying to give advice in saying no to good things and figuring out priorities and stuff, like, what would you tell that person? Or what would you tell your past self, your freshman Noemi, your freshman Josiah, or, I guess, I don't know, future Josiah Jr. or Noemi the third, or I don't know, yeah, y'all gotta stop me. I'm just talking too much. But yeah, like, what would you say to your person or this being?
I think for me right now, just because, like I said, it's been kind of my goal to, like, be okay with being bored. I think that's what I do tell people now, and I would continue to tell people, is because I think it's been life-changing for me, honestly. I think it definitely opened a different door in my relationship with God. And I think, even though, I think because as college students too, and at USC, we've mentioned just, like, how easy it is to get involved into so many things. And you can definitely be on opposite ends of the spectrum where you're, like, too much with community and friends and fun, or too much with school and, like, studying and all that. But I think a good way to just balance out that is to have those times of boredom. And even just small things that I've done is, like, turning off notifications on my phone, or, like, trying not to bring my phone to the bathroom, because we literally take that everywhere, and just again, every second is so easily spent on our phones. So I think, yeah, something I would tell people going into college or even in college now is like, have some board time, like have those times to like sit down and just think through your thoughts. And yeah.
That's good. What about you, Joe?
I don't know. I like that advice. I think like very similarly, I think one part is very similar for me where it's like, I would tell my younger self or child or whatever, I think on one part, it's like the kind of humbling nature of realizing just how like little we can do. So it's like, don't like sell yourself too much of being like, oh, I constantly have to be doing stuff. Cause it's like, that's just not really productive. And it's something that I think I still, think about of like, oh, could I be doing like, how it has manifested itself for me is like kind of in situations like what Noemi's saying, like it has been like kind of when I reach those points where there's nothing to do, it's like the tendency has been like, since college, I will say, it's been like, okay, like, what can I work on? And so like, it's taken a while for me to kind of start to unlearn that where it's like, when I hit this point, it's like, what would I like to do? And it does not have to be work because like, that is not all I need to do. So yeah, definitely I would second that opinion. And then I think the other one that like, it's something I noticed like in how you were speaking about your Kung Fu Panda 4 project, Matthew. And then also for me, like, I think like sometimes when I zoom out, I'm like, it's actually kind of like good that we're having some of these questions regarding priorities. Like if we weren't having those, that would be more concerning rather than us having them. Right. So it's like, I think, I don't know, maybe that's like a instance of the spirit of God working in us and kind of pulling us back, making sure like, hey, you know, keep this in mind. Cause I, you know, that maybe wouldn't have been a thing I would have thought about before, where I wouldn't have really questioned my priorities as much. So I think like kind of bringing that up earlier is better because I think that starts to question, okay, why am I doing the things I'm doing? But then also kind of just being conscious of how my decisions and what am I placing my identity in and how does that relate to priorities and whatnot. Because I think I'm still figuring out what that looks like. So any head start to that would be great. Not that it's a race, but, you know, it's just a thing that I think is really hard to reconcile. So, yeah.
I think I would say to insert person, I don't even know what to say, bro. Actually, like, bro, pray. pray, and then I would probably talk to them about like the big rocks, medium rocks, little rocks illustration, which I think, yeah, it was wild. Like my freshman year, Josh, my freshman discipler at the time, he told me that in TCC, like while we're eating lunch, and then this past semester I shared that like illustration with like a freshman guy that I'm like following up with, and like I was like it was on a call, so like it wasn't in person, but like so it was like a FaceTime, so you can kind of see like your little like self in the corner. And then as I was explaining, I was like, oh my goodness, I am Josh Mora. Like I'm saying it exactly like I'm just making the motion. It was weird. I was like, bro, what the heck. Like the idea of like if you have a cup and you're trying to fit as many rocks in it as possible, like let's say you have big rocks, medium sized rocks, and like some like pebbles. If you put all the pebbles in first and then all like the medium rocks in and then all like the big rocks, like you're not gonna be able to fit everything else, because like all like the little small pebbles like took up all the space in the bottom, and like so did the medium rocks. But if you put in like the big rocks first and then like let some like the medium rocks trickle down into like the spaces in between, and then like put like the pebbles in, then like you have the best chance of like kind of filling up the cup with the most amount of rocks. And like the idea of like find out what your big like non-negotiable like priorities are, like set those in, like, you know, protect those times, and then like in that, like fill in some like the like less important ones and like the then like the fun ones and like, things like that. And I think that was helpful for me. But last question before we go, because it's, I know we talked about podcasts being a little bit of a time capsule, and I think that's cool. And like, we've looked to the like behind us in the past, or like leaving thoughts to like future generations or younger people who are coming after us. But I also think it'd be cool to answer a question to your like future self in 5 years. Right now it's 2024. Let's say that you can leave a little message for Josiah, for Noemi, for Matthew in 2029, 5 years from now, in regards to saying no to good things. What would you say to your future self, your 2029 self, who, like, I assume we'd all be out of USC probably and doing who knows what. But what are things that you'd like to tell your future self, remind your future self, encourage your future self with in 2029?
I think for me, it would be to just remember that God can work in like those busy times. 'Cause I think around that time, I'd either be maybe in residency or, God willing, in medical school. And so when I think of that, I just think of so much studying and so many hours of work in the hospital and all of that. And I think it's scary to think about, because that can very much be a distraction from my relationship with God. So I think I would just say, like, take those moments and, like, don't feel guilty if it feels like you're kind of spending so much time in your studies or career, but like, use those opportunities to glorify God, and just remember that, like, God called you into that calling, and so he knew about the busyness, he knew like all the sacrifices that you have to make in this time. So just remember, like, that's okay, that's part of the plan, and you can still glorify God in those moments.
Yeah, that's well put.
Hit him with the snaps.
Is it too cringe if I leave myself a lyric from a song? Because I had this pulled up and I'm like, wait, shoot, I could like, this is a perfect, yeah, this is like a really good bar. This bar always hits. Okay, this is from, this is going to be a bold statement. This is from my favorite, probably my favorite, like, artist. I would go out and say definitely my favorite Christian artist. I'll go out and say that. Beautiful Eulogy. If you haven't listened to Beautiful Eulogy, please do. They are like,
oh wait, did they do the doxology
version? They did do doxology. Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like, Beautiful Eulogy creates some of the most creative and convicting and uplifting music that I've ever heard. And so this is one bar that always catches me, because I have distinct memories of like being in my room listening to this, like, I don't know, like putting away laundry or something, and it hits, and it's just like, oh. So the bar, it's in the song Messiah by Beautiful Eulogy. And it says, when a good God gives good gifts, we generally try to twist the list and take the list of good gifts that God tends to give and make general gods out of gifts. Or out of the gifts. Oh, no, out of gifts. I had it right.
Wait, can we run that back?
Yeah, running it back. When a good God gives good gifts, we generally tend to twist the list and take the list of good gifts that God tends to give and make general gods out of gifts.
Goodness. Oh, my gosh.
So it's basically just saying, like, hey, make sure that, like, out of all the good gifts, like, you're understanding where those come from. And so that's, like, that kind of thinking is something where, like, when I released the film, I like pondered that, you know, of like, wait, hold on. Like, I gotta make sure I'm giving credit where credit is due. Like, Noemi, you mentioned earlier, like, I think, I don't remember if it was in studying. It was totally during studying. You like praying about studying. That is like such an unsung like study, like
bro, during finals, like, best study technique. And like, I know for those kind of things, like, it's like, hey, at least for me, the prayer is often like, God, help me with this and like, help it glorify you. So kind of following through and making sure, hey, how can I like, you know, give credit where credit is due. And making sure I'm not kind of like forgetting where those things come from, because I think it's kind of easy to do, at least for me, when I get excited about things. So yeah.
Shoot. That's fire.
It's a good song.
Dang. I can't steal an answer. I would, but like, oh, shoot. I think that I, I think the way that like I have tried to think about it recently in like terms of saying no to good things is like, maybe like I would tell myself like, remember all of the good things that Jesus said no to while he was on earth. Mm. Like, man, like, Jesus could have taken over the Roman Empire and that would have been good. He could have ruled Rome a lot better than literally anyone else in existence. He could have healed more people and flexed like his power, and like that would have been good. He could have like healed more people and like less people would have died. Or he could have I don't know, literally done anything, like anything that he wanted, and it would have been good because he is good and he like does things perfectly and amazingly. But like, what did he choose to do? He like chose to come as like a freaking baby in a stable, born in a gross place, and he like decided to go like carry a cross and like die for us, and like that was like best for us and for him and for even though like it was, yeah, ah, man, like what a sacrifice. And like I think a lot of times like that when I'm thinking about like the struggles that like I am going through on this earth and like trying to follow God, is like the same struggles that like Jesus went through, like, right, like, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin, which is like Hebrews 4:15. And the idea that like we have a relatable God, and like, man, like, not that I'm saying I am Jesus or like I'm trying to be perfect like him. Well, I am trying, but I'm not gonna get there. But like the idea of like, man, like if he did and he like submitted and surrendered, like I want to try to as well. And yeah, like I think that that like God gives grace like regardless, and that like I think I've seen him like use my selfish ambition for his glory time and time and again. He's turned it around, and he's made it like beautiful, and like he will, even if I mess up, like I'm not big enough, my stupidity's not big enough to like stop his plans. And so Matthew, just try not to be a bum, and God's still gonna use it anyways. So those are kind of the thoughts. But yeah, any other last kind of things you'd like to share with all of the, I don't know, two listeners at home or things like that before we wrap up?
I have like two amendments to the previous things I said that I've been thinking about. One was kind of in the discussion when we were talking earlier about like the, like, I think the palette versus the funnel, like that whole illustration, because I think that was a little convoluted when I talked about that. I think like there are probably times where like chasing is not bad. It's more just like the lifestyle chasing that I think I was meaning is like what I want to avoid. And I think is like, that's like what's sometimes hard to avoid. If you kind of, you put yourself into a lifestyle to where if things like your identity or your like self-value or whatnot are related to that, that's where I think it's dangerous. Cause I just want to like, you know, not just be like, oh yeah, if you have like a profession where you really got to kind of like chase after things, like that's bad, where it's like, well, I don't think that's necessarily accurate. But I think, I don't know. I realized in saying that, I feel like, I don't know, that's such a hard thing to speak on that I'm really not qualified for. So hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. The other thing that I think is a fun thing to think about that, is kind of the question of a second priorities question that did never come up, but I think is interesting and something to think about is,
is your first your best, or is there a difference between those? Because I know that also has affected a lot between how I think about priorities. And I don't know, that's just another whole thing to think about of like, for me, I think in the periods of busyness where I've been like, I've like talking about like working on the film or stuff like that, like that has almost come, that has come up too of like, hey, wait, if I was going to like, this, if I was going to give this time elsewhere, this would not be my best because I'm struggling to finish this, you know? But I think that's like a, it can be both a mental trap and I think a good thing to take into consideration, but just something I thought was interesting and something to think about, I think, when evaluating priorities, especially when it comes to like scheduling and stuff like that. So yeah, that was a random one that I thought about that hadn't come up, but I thought was interesting and you guys might think interesting too. So.
That's something I'm going to have to be bored and sit in my thoughts with, but
yeah. Or with your schedule. Cause I think for me, that's like such a, I still don't know my answer to that question. Really. I don't think my first is my best necessarily, but priorities, I don't know. It's like hard. So.
Dang. All right. Nomi, if you have nothing left to say, then yeah, I think that does it for this episode. Joe, Nomi, thank you for hopping on to an episode of the Tie 5 podcast. And thank you all for
listening. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. And until next time, bye.
Toodaloo.